First of all, I'd say good evening, brethren, and this has been an anticipated experience since, of course, all of you know of my ordeal last year, and I tried to give myself time before I tried to attempt to do this, and I've seen Brother Craig them, and Darvin and Montrell and Brother Mike this morning did an excellent job presenting God's word to the brethren here at 72nd Street. We're so blessed to have such talented men who are able to preach God's word in Brother Dismute's absence. And we're thankful for that. Have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to read a few verses here in a moment, verses 14 through 23. 14 through 23. So good to see so many of you, and if you're visiting, it's good to have you with us. We here at the Church of Christ, we try to hold to the Bible and the Bible only. We believe in God and His Word, and we try to do it, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so if you're here with us this evening, we hope and pray if you hear anything, please stay after the worship, and we'll be glad to sit down with you and to expound on our belief and our conviction as according to that which is written. If you have the place, let us begin to read. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that is entering in him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house, when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning that parable. And he said unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing come from without enter into the man? It cannot defile him, because it entereth not in his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats, or making all meats clean." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." He says here, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Jesus had healed many around the Sea of Galilee and surrounding towns and cities there of Gennesaret. And so much of the healing abroad had gotten back to Jerusalem. And so now news of this preaching and healing and of his conflicts with other local authorities were constantly being monitored by those leaders, mainly the Pharisees and the scribes. You see, Jesus was a new phenomenon on the scene. No man, Pharisees, scribes, even the Sadducees, and all of the other men of the Jewish ranks had never seen one go about and perform those things that he did. Truly, Nicodemus had it right. "For no man can do the things that thou do except thou be sent from God." This one was particular. He was distinctive. He was not your ordinary man on the scene. And thank God this is recorded for us. And so therefore, on this occasion though, the Pharisees and scribes had sent another commission. You know, they were just sending people. Yeah, find out what else he's doing to find fault with Jesus. And so they came, and as back in the earlier part of the chapter, look at verse 7, the Bible says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and the certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled," that is to say, with unwashing hands, "they found fault." Now, you know, most of us would say that's kind of unsanitary a little bit. I hope most of us have good sanitary habits. We try to wash our hands before we do certain things, health-wise. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now let's look at that for a minute. Now what they meant, though, they weren't talking about them not washing their hands but having bad manners. That's not what these Pharisees and scribes are ascribing to. You see, because they're looking for fault here. And so therefore, they meant that the disciples were unclean in the eyes of God. That's what they're saying. Oh, this is a little bit different now. There's the accusation. You know, Lord, your disciples, your followers are unclean before Almighty God. And you're supposed to be the representative of God. How is it that they can be unclean? Now, I want you to catch this. This didn't come from a commandment of God. It was a tradition of the elders. Here we go. And so therefore, the disciples had not washed their hands as a sign to God that they were offering themselves as a sign to God. Now, under the law of Moses in the book of Leviticus, you'll read that. You'll find out that God had his Jews, had the Jews at certain times do certain washings and all. Things pertaining to the temple. But not everything. And the Pharisees had instituted some of their own rules and regulations apart from the commandment of God. And so here, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees because of their ceremonial traditions instituted by these elders. Now, after Jesus' stern rebuke of the Pharisees and the scribes in verses 5 and 6, he now calls unto the people unto himself. Thank God, someone that understands and knows what the real deal is about to expound on the whole matter. There's not going to be any confusion here. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank God we know who he is. Thank God we know the truth. And you're going to have those today who have their multiplicity of traditions and their theologies and all. But with the gospel of Christ, we know the truth. And we can know it. And we can go to Jesus and get that truth. And so Jesus calls the people unto himself now. I like that. Didn't say he called the Pharisees. He called the people. If they wanted to listen in, they could. But now Jesus is going to give us a solemn truth on the matter. And so Jesus now in verse 4 says, and when he had called all the people unto him, and he said unto him, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There we go. Hearken, listen to it now. Take heed. You ever heard someone say, you need to really hear me, what I'm trying to explain? You know, maybe your wife said, you know what, honey, you need to really hear me because you have such a hard head. Every time I try to explain something to you, you act like I'm not here. But when Jesus opens his mouth, we need to take heed. You know, there was an old saying back in the day, when Eve Hutton speak, everybody listens. Some of y'all know that because y'all old enough to know what I'm talking about. Now, you younger ones, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. When Jesus says, hearken, he didn't just say, hear me. He says, now understand what I'm about to teach you in this era that's been propagated. And so Jesus goes on. And as we get into that verse, Jesus now is about to get to the heart of the matter. There it is. The crux of what's going on. You know, anytime you have to solve a problem, you got to get to the root of what's going on. There needs to be what we call, where I work at, a root causal analysis. And we got to backtrack and find out how did we get off the way to get back to the procedural way that was instructed from the beginning. So therefore, Jesus is going to get to the heart of the matter. And in that discussion, he's going to expound to them that there is nothing from without a man that entering into him that can defile him. Nothing outside of you that comes and enters will defile you. The Pharisees and them had it all wrong. And Jesus goes on to say, but the things that come out of him, now that's different, comes out of him, those are they that defile a man. The Pharisees and scribes were way off from what God wanted and expects from man. Jesus now is about to reveal some profound truth that is of extreme importance. Simply put, a man is not defiled by what enters his body, but by what comes, watch this, out of the heart. Yes. The title of my lesson tonight is The Heart of the Matter is a Matter of the Heart. Yes, sir. The heart of the matter, my brethren, is a matter of the heart. Oh, the heart. You know, I forgot to count all of the scriptures I saw in their concordance, and there are a ton of them involving the heart. And we've been talking on Wednesday night about the preparation of the heart. Brother Dismute did a lesson a while back about the heart. And how important that heart is. Every one of us has one. And I'm not talking about the one that was taken out of my chest and that was routed with a new vein for a bypass. I'm talking about the heart that man thinks and reasons and understands with. That's the heart that's critical in this matter. And it has a lifeline. Oh, yes, it does. It has a lifeline. And you need to take care how you guard your heart. Yes, sir. Need to take care how you guard that heart. You see, it's not enough, brethren, to just hear what thus saith the Lord. We must understand what's being said. And if I don't understand, I need to get explanation. And that means if I got to go home and sit down and get a commentary and hopefully have that expounded. If not, I go to someone I think knows a little more than me to help me out to understand what the will of the Lord is. I don't care how much time it's going to take you. You need to learn what is the will of the Lord. As Paul told the church at Ephesus, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Oh, you'd be surprised how many sit around the pews and they don't know. They done sat at Jesus' feet for a while. Done heard great sermons preached from the pulpit and still don't know. We need to learn. The Lord says, hearken and hear. And then he didn't stop there and understand. Yes. You see, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's where your heart is. Is it in tune to hear what thus saith the Lord? Are you excited when the gospel is being preached? Or has this become a rudimentary practice regimen? I'm just here because God said I need to be here. Is your heart in tune from hearing that saving grace, that saving message of salvation? Are you bored with hearing what thus saith the Lord? The Lord says, hearken and now hear and understand. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. You know, one of the crucial points, and I don't have many, so we're going to be done here shortly. You say, yeah, that's right. I ain't never seen you done. I know some of you talking right now. That's all right. I ain't scared of you. I ain't scared of near one. I love all of y'all. Even Brother Benny told me that yesterday. I went to see Benny. I said, Benny, I'm going to keep it short. Yeah, right, Maxwell. And he had enough strength to tell me that, man. I tell you, I love Brother Benny to death. But anyhow, here's one of the vital points we need to understand. You know, whenever you talk about the heart, we talk about vitals. You ever been out there and said, well, let's check your vitals. And one of the main things is that heart. Boy, that monitor is monitoring everything involving that heart. Because when that stops, you stop. Yes, sir. The heart is critical. The heart is crucial. It's at the crux of everything that you are. Now, that's the physical. But here's one that's more important, your spiritual, biblical heart. It doesn't matter if that one stops. that's okay. It can stop as long as the other one is okay. Come on, brother. We put too much emphasis on it. And when it may appear you're about to die, that's all right. If you're right in Christ Jesus, you're on your way to glory. Amen. Yes, you are. That's the heart. That's the heart of the matter. That the internal man is right with God, and God is able to deliver you from that crush, from that problem that looks like a problem. Thank God. I'm so thankful that I knew God. I thought about, man, what in the world? What would you do if the doctor came and said, you know, we're going to open up your chest tomorrow, and we're going to take your heart out, and you don't know him? That's fear. And, brother, I had to work hard. I said, man, all the lessons I've been heard, and to have the man tell you there's a 3% chance you might not make it. Yes. That will get your attention quick. And you're looking at, is there any unrepentant sin I need to think about? Is there something I need to confess? Because if I slip into eternity, I can't get it right. It has to be right now before I leave here. You can't play around with God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. Brethren, yes, sir. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. You got to get it right. The heart is vital. So many people are so careless guarding their hearts. The world is enticed and captivated. So many people. So many people are confused in their minds. I don't even have to tell you that. You got people killing themselves off left and right. You got people going in the mall, shooting people, going to these personal events. You got people drowning people. You got people asphyxiating people. I mean, people have lost it. And preying on the poor little children. Oh, the first book was right. In the book of Genesis, the Bible lets us know how vital the heart is. And God saw, Genesis 6:5, that the wickedness of man was great. Did you hear the word wickedness? Did you know that was one of those sins he just mentioned here that comes from the heart? And so the Bible says that the wickedness of man was great. Notice, it wasn't small. It was great. Great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of the hearts was only evil continually. Well, who would know that? God knows it. That's who would know that. That every imagination of the thoughts of the heart were evil continually. You know, Jeremiah said something too, alluding to this. As Jeremiah was speaking about Judah, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, a man's heart is a deep well. You can't know anything about me unless I tell you. You know, some of your closest, let's say your spouse, someone you might have spent some time with, may have a dark secret they may never reveal to you. And they take it with them to the grave. But they're not alone. God knows about that secret too, whatever it is. And Almighty God, I hope it ain't against their account. I hope they got that rectified before they go. There's nothing hidden from the Lord. He knows every secret thing about you. Oh, it's good that you are in the comfort of your hidden billows, away from the prying eyes of your fellow brethren and your sisters in Christ. And maybe your co-workers and your family, but the Lord knows. And my friends, you need to go back and look at that, and you need to rectify. If it's a problem in your life, you need to get that right. Get it right. Get it right with the Lord. You know, the Lord says he searches the heart and he tries the reins, even to give every man according. Now watch this. According to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It is vital. It is crucial. And you know what? You know how we look at someone and we try to select someone. Let's say elders for a minute. And how do you look and select an elder? What does he look like? Because you'd be surprised how some members, they look
Well, I think he'll great. He'll be a great elder. Nice, tall, handsome, wear good suits and all. Got a great job. Make good money. Yeah, he'd be a good elder. That ain't no problem getting no elder. That ain't the ones I read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 or Titus chapter 1. Ain't none of those are in there. No, sir. That must be how Samuel was. When Samuel mourned for Saul because God was about to replace him, and he went to one named Jesse, and Jesse said he had some sons. He said, well, now go get your sons and pass them before me. And Samuel said, oh, I know that's the one. That's the anointed. And the Lord said, wait, hold it. Hold it, Samuel. You got that? 1 Samuel 16:7. Did you get that? I ain't give you that one. You want me to go ahead and quote it out for you? 1 Samuel 16:7. After he saw Eliab.
The Lord said unto Samuel.
He said, what did he say to him?
Look down on his
No, wait a minute. He said, man, that's a handsome fellow. That brother built. I know he's strong. Yeah, he in Saul's army. I know he's successful. Yep, that's the one I want to lead my people. That's what God said. No, that ain't what he said. See, God knew something Samuel didn't know. God knew something Jesse didn't know. You see, Jesse said, I'm going to give you the prime of the crop right here. Here, my boys. Do you know in all that, David ain't even going to be mentioned. David won't even mention. No, sir. You see, no one knows the heart like God. God knows. You know, when somebody says, well, wait a minute, hold on now. You mean to tell me God, man wrote the Bible? No, he didn't. Man had a part in it. God is the author.
Yes.
And God knew what men to get to do the right. Mm-hmm. See, me and you, we could never do that task. God, out of all the millions of people, God knew exactly who to get to do the right and who would not fail him. He already knows. Yes, sir. That's how we know. That's right. He found men that were honorable, men that were holy, and the Holy Spirit born them that they didn't even write any private interpretations. Huh? There's no inaccuracies here. The word of God is right. It's correct. So therefore, 1 Samuel 16:7. Go ahead and read that for me. You hear that? I refuse that one you pick. You think Samuel was a little stumped there? Wait a minute, hold it, Lord. Man, he sure looked like the right one to me. Keep going.
For the Lord sees not as men see.
Oh, the Lord don't see like we do. No, sir. You see, your appearance ain't the real you, tell you the truth. It's just there so we can know you exist.
Amen.
That's all it is. Man, if your spirit left right now, Angie, I wouldn't know you no more. Your spirit is who you really are.
Amen.
The inside man. Amen. That's who you are. Keep going.
For man looking on the outward appearance.
Yes, sir.
But the Lord looking on the heart.
Lord looks on the heart. The Lord knew the heart of all of Jesse's sons, and he knew David. Mm-hmm. And after he had Eliab pass by, and Abinadab pass by, and Shammah pass by, and then the rest of the sons. And then Samuel said, is there any more? And Samuel had to compel Jesse to send for him. Jesse still didn't want to call him.
Amen.
And finally, here come David. Young, ruddy, little young lad, red hair. Man, look, you look too soft, David. You know, sometimes we look at it, oh, man, I don't want him on TV. You look too soft. You don't look man enough. But you know what? He had a big heart. What did God say? Verse 22. Is it verse 22?
Verse 12.
Yeah, verse 12.
Brought him in, now he was
running
with a beautiful countenance.
You hear that? A beautiful countenance. Yeah, you see, you're a pretty boy. Pretty boy can't do no real work. Yeah. You got a little soft palm olive hands. No, sir. We don't want you in the field. Nah. You're not going to get it done. Nah, your hands need to be rough. Yeah, you need to look like you've done some work. That's right. You look like one of them office boys. Keep going.
It was good to look to.
Yes.
And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Arise and anoint him. You see, man admires ability, but God esteems attitude. Man adores beauty and charisma, but God examines behavior and character. You see, the heart of man contains within it his intellect, how he thinks, how he reasons, how he understands, how he believes, and that's critical, brethren. Yes, sir. If you want somebody leader in the congregation in your church, it's important how he thinks, reasons, understands. God is not going to put anyone in that position. Yes,
that's right.
Oh, sir. That's why those things are spelled out in 1 Timothy chapter 3 concerning elders and deacons. And so, therefore, the Lord knows what's going on in the heart. The heart, as far as the will, that's another compartment of it. The will involves your intentions and your purposes and your obedience. How you comply, how you surrender, how you obey to authority. Not all people are good at obeying. A lot of people are disobedient, even in the Lord's house. So we need to be obedient to Almighty God. God looks at the heart as far as your emotions. Are you indifferent? Or are you zealous and on fire? Do you desire to know him and to know his will and trust him? God looks at the heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, the father despised him, but God raised him. There you go. He became a king. No one saw that coming. No, sir. No one saw him go out and exhibit, what's that, one of those graces called? Huh? Virtue. Manly, godly virtue. How dare you defy the army of God? I'm going to slay this Philistine just like I did the lion and the bear. You're going down, taking down the lion. Remember that sermon my brother dismute? Yes, sir. He had the right heart. Oh, yes, he did. Even though he might have failed on one or a couple occasions, but overall in his tenure, David had the right heart. You see, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Oh, yes, it is. And oh, you know his conscience was working, because even after he had sinned with Bathsheba and he had been admonished by Nathan, you know, David finally said, "Forever, oh God, my sin is ever before me." What a great omission. Yes, it is. And though his curse would never leave his house, David still repented. And David said, "Oh Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit." Yes. So therefore, he had the heart God. God knew all that. God knew that he would be the right one. And then God was so pleased with him eventually that God named his throne after David. Yes, sir. Boy, that's an honor, ain't it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. David's throne. Didn't say Saul's throne. They didn't say Solomon's throne. David's throne. Come on now, because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Got to get it right, brother. That heart is so crucial. Not only is the heart vital, but getting one's heart right with God is vital. You see, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man is that which defileth a man." Why must one put so much effort in getting his heart right with God? You see, the problem with most men is we are so concerned with the result. What I mean by that? The act. The sinful act that's been committed. We focus so much on that. And we need to back up and look at what's going on in here. You see, that's not going to get corrected till this gets corrected. As a man thinketh in his heart, so as he. And that's what God is concerned with, your heart. God knows that if he can get to your heart, he's got the rest of it. That's the whole purpose. What's the heart of the matter? It's your heart. That's the heart of it. It's your heart. That's what you need to be concerned with. How you think, how you reason on your daily actions. Everything you are involved in, whether it be on your job, in your home, with your family, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, what's going on in your heart? Don't let your worship be in vain. Don't live ungodly all week and come to worship and God is going,
He's not accepting it. Why? Because your life is not aligned with what God wants. That's why he rejected the others. You don't want him to reject you. You don't want to waste all your time sitting here on the pew Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday night, and your heart is not right with God. Come on now. Somewhere in there, you got a family say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm going to do better. God, I'm going to sit there. God, I'm going to search your word. God, I want to know more about you. God, I am so sorry for wasting time. Yes, sir. Help me, Almighty God. Yes, sir, you need help. I need help. You know, I heard Brother Mike Brandt the other night, man. I tell you, I love that brother. Because Mike is sincere. Yes, I do. And you know what? There's a whole lot cleaning up need to be done. Oh, yes, it is. You see, we got to put a lot of effort in getting our heart right. The heart is the source of evil. Did you know that? It's not things. That's not something outside of you. That's not the source of evil. It's your heart. That's the problem. Yes, and that's what Jesus illustrated here. It has nothing to do with the false rudiments of what the elders and the Pharisees tried to get people to do. Though that's false. That's not the problem. The problem is what's going on in the heart. It's a heart of inclination. As Paul told Israel of old back in Deuteronomy, I think, verses 10, verse 16, remove now, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. Remove it, a rebellious people. Stiff neck. You need to remove that. God is crying and bidding you to do. And some of us won't move. That's up. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Oh, these are the things that defile me. And you saw the list I just read. You're like, ooh. Ooh, man, this is kind of rough here. Jesus didn't hold back, did he? He said, now let me tell you what's in a man. He says, for from within, out of the heart, proceed. You know what that means? Proceed evil thoughts. That's schemes and motives that are in your heart that no one else may know but you. But yet you participate in it. Yes, sir. Schemes and motives. You know, man, we always said that I can't know your motive unless you reveal it to me. What that is, whatever that is. Taking a peek on the sly. No one else saw you, but the Lord saw you. Having that dirty thought, doing worse when you ain't got no business having that dirty thought. I'm gonna go there.
Yeah.
Taking a quick peek while you're on the internet. When you ain't got no business, you know it's wrong. Getting you a few numbers in this week, see if you can hit the pick three, pick four. Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. No one saw you, but you did it. Taking you a shot, 40. I went to a brother's house and said, man, let me have a taste of that 40. Man, they looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I'm just testing the waters, let's see if you gonna do it. That's all. I almost was blackmailed. I went to Rodney, what's it called? I'm trying to think of the name now. Phillips. Went to Rodney Phillips retirement. You know, going back to work already. But long story short, went to Rodney. I went to the little celebration, and all I did was sit down beside Dennis and Pat Haygood at the bar, and there just happened to be beer dispensers right there. And what a couple of my brethren came up and said, hey, man, we're going to go back and tell everybody you was right there getting a shot. I said, wait a minute, man. All I did was sit here. I was going to get something to eat. See how people are. Your own brothers and sisters both love you. Next thing you know, they're going to extort some money if I got to make payments every week to keep them quiet. Man, I tell you, brethren, the sum ain't anything to make a dollar. You see, the heart is crazy. Jesus announces the pollution of that heart. But you know what? There's a solution. There is a remedy. Yes. And there is balm in Gilead. And Jesus came and died for men and won and took power over from the devil and his kingdom. He was the strong man that went into the house and bound the strong man, Jesus, and spoiled his goods and thus far made it possible for us to be free as well.
See, there's no excuse now. You have a Savior who's pleading for you in glory, my brethren. Yes, you do. And the message is the gospel. We hear it all the time. Matter of fact, those ought to be sweet words in our mouth. The gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation. That power that's able to eradicate that sin out of your heart when it's obeyed. That's what's important. When it is obeyed. You know what? Go to Romans chapter 6. I didn't ask you to go there, but go there right quick. This is where I get in trouble. But go to Romans chapter 6. My time running out. Man, I got to go back and tell Bennett the truth now. I didn't make it. Man, Romans chapter 6. And get there. Oh, start up there by verse 8.
Now, if we be dead with Christ.
If we be dead, there you go.
We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once.
You hear that? He died unto sin once. You know, he conquered it. You know, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. You know that verse? Yes, sir. Keep going.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead.
Now, reckon you along with him. Go ahead.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof.
Brethren, listen carefully. Here's the counsel that applies to us. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That doesn't mean you ain't gonna sin sometimes, but don't let it dominate you. Day after day, you're just succumbing to this thing, whatever it is. It gets to the point after all, you're not even offering a prayer to God anymore. Oh, what's to you? So I'm gonna sin anyhow. Have you gotten to that point? You can, if you ain't careful. But we serve a big God. God knows your struggles. Even if you got to say this in confidence to a brother or sister that you love to help you with this, whatever it is. But don't you stop crying unto God. God's not going to turn away from you when you call on him out of sincere, a contrite heart. God is going to hear you. And God, through his providential being and care, will orchestrate his soul to help, have a brother or sister to help you. If you need some help, if you really are seeking to do that which is right, God is going to make it a way for you to get right. Amen. All things work for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. And God is going to see it through that you become delivered. Why? Because God's greatest desire for you, my brother, is your salvation. Matter of fact, he desires it probably more than you do. So therefore, finish reading that for me, please.
Neither yield ye yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness and sin, but
you know what your members are? Oh, yeah. That's right. Your body. Body. Yes, sir. You need to learn temperance. We're not talking about being loosey-loosey. Just giving and do what makes you feel good. Dude, that's what America says. Just the world says, do what makes you feel good. Oh, no. God expects us to have exemplified control, temperance. Mortify these things. Put it to death. You see, you need to work on your heart. You see, that's a heart problem. If you're having a problem, you got to get the heart right. God knows what's going on in your heart. You got to stop kidding yourself. I got to stop kidding myself. I got to, what they say, keep it real. You got to keep it real with God. God is not mocked in the matter. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he also reap. We done heard that, and it just goes right in and go, keep going. No, you better let it stop right here and ponder on that. Don't you want to be able to lay your head down comfortably at night knowing you're right with God? Because you don't know when he's coming. He'll allow to come while you sleep. Amen. He may come right now. We don't know when he's coming. But you need to be watching. You need to be sober. Yes, you do. Finish reading that for me. Let me know when you get to verse 17.
You yield yourself members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin.
Yes.
You yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead.
Yes.
Members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Yes.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Yes.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law?
Now,
because you're under grace. Now, just because you're under grace don't mean you get to have a legal recourse to go ahead and sin. It's not a license to sin just because you're under grace. Because I'm going to explain to you in a minute what grace does. Yeah, I thank God for his grace. You know, God's grace didn't just show up right here in the book of Romans. It showed up back in Genesis. Did you know that? Yeah.
Amen.
Noah found God's grace. Yes, he did.
Amen.
Yeah, it didn't just show up right there. It was always there. Now, keep going.
God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Verse 17. But God be thanked that we were servants of sin.
But God be thanked that ye were, past tense, the servants of sin. Go ahead now.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
Call it, you have obeyed something. From something. You have obeyed something from the heart. Why? Because your heart been pricked. It's been softened. And now you've allowed the light of that truth to enter in. And thus far, now you're on your way. You are allowing God now to take control of your life. You've humbled yourself. You know why people don't obey the gospel, Brother Bob? It's humility. That's the problem. When you preach the saving grace to someone, or you teach them and they hear it and they reject it, it's because they won't humble themselves. They won't let the glorious light of the gospel to enter in. If the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And why are they lost? Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of the Son of God, should shine unto them. That's why. The problem is humility. In order for you to come to God, you got to bow down and humble yourself. And not only in your initial obedience, but throughout your Christian walk. You need to constantly bow down and humble yourself and serve the Almighty God. Quit wandering around in the hallways when the gospel is being preached. What's in the hallways? What are you discussing? Is it Jesus? Or are you talking about why you can't get this bill paid? What's going on? Or why this girl said something against you? What's going on? When you should be sitting here at the feet of Christ and hearing the blessed gospel preached, your soul is in the balances, brethren. Don't you dare be so irreverent. When time has been set apart, you live in a country where you're not persecuted, where you can come with the freedom to sit down and obey the Almighty God. Yes, sir. We don't have to go and hide and try to worship the Lord. God has blessed us in this great nation. I know everything ain't all right, but we still have the freedom to come together and worship without molestation, without persecution, without trial, without tribulations. You have not been threatened. You have not been threatened to be killed. And yet you will walk around in the halls out there and the word of God is being taught. My friends, I pray you have a change of heart. You see, what's the heart of the matter? I tell you what it is. It's a heart of indifference. That's what's wrong. You need to get more serious. Yes. I ain't pointing no fingers. You know who you are. Yes, sir. That scares me. There's some things that scare me. You know that? It scares me to be irreverent. Yes, it does. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. God is to be greatly feared in this amongst the assembling of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. God ain't your average Joe Blow around the corner.
Amen.
You need to serve God with solemn sovereignty. You need to understand who God is. You need to be careful how you approach God. It won't be funny on Judgment Day if he ain't looking at you with mercy.
Amen.
I'm talking to the church tonight.
Amen.
I know there's a lot missing. That's all right, but you can go back and share it with him. Make a copy and give it to him.
The heart of the matter. Read the rest of that verse and then we're going to move on right quick.
You have obeyed from the heart.
You hear that? You have obeyed from the heart. You see, it's from the heart. God has gotten to your heart. Paul said, and then what is the result of that? When you obey from the heart, what's the next verse behind that?
Verse
Then being made free.
Then made free from sin.
Yes, sir. You hear that? Ooh, that sounds good. Being made free from sin. You hear that? Ye became the servants, not of unrighteousness, but righteousness. The Apostle Peter says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another first. Notice that you have purified. He said, there's been a cleansing, there's been a washing now. See, the heart has been sprinkled from an impure conscience to a pure conscience. You want your conscience to be clear. That's what you want. You want your heart to be right with God. You see, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. Now, remember we read about that grace in there? Now, go to the first one, Titus chapter 2, right quick. My time is up. Y'all, don't go back and tell Benny this, man. I'm in trouble already. What is Titus 2? Go to verse 12.
Titus 2:12, teaching us that
denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Yes, sir, you hear that? Something we need to deny, brother. Soberly,
righteously, and godly.
Oh, wait a minute now. Soberly, that's living right inside. You ain't drinking that 40. That's right. You didn't. See, if I went and had a drink right now, I'd be tipsy. You know, everybody talking about, well, God wants you to do things in moderation. I said, no. That ain't what Galatians 5:19 says. It says drunkenness. That's the whole process. You see, if I can't drink a little bit, I can't fornicate a little bit. Can't do that neither. That's all in the same text. Amen. I can't commit a little bit of adultery. Can I do a little bit? No, you can't. Can't do none of it. Those terms mentioned in Galatians, that's the whole process. From the time you thought about it in your heart to the time you committed the overt act. That's right. Strong drink is condemned throughout the scripture. Some people don't like that. Well, you got to take that up with the Lord. But we're to be sober-minded. We're sober. Sober, righteously. That means right dealing with those other than yourself. And then godly, that means being right with God in heaven. In this what? Present world. And Lord knows we need brethren to allow the grace to teach them and the denial of the ungodliness. Somebody needs to see an example. They need to see an example of what it means to live righteously. And why? What's your motivation for this? Brother Montrell, verse 13.
Looking for that blessed hope.
I'm looking for something. Looking for that blessed hope. Isn't that what it said?
And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right. Therefore, every man that have this hope in him, purify himself. 1 John 3, verse 3. That's right. You see, by having that lively hope and being thoroughly convinced and believing with all your heart that you're right with God comes the purification. The heart is right with God. The conscience is clear. You see, because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And finally, are you giving your all to God? You see, are you giving your whole heart? That is vital, brethren. You can't give partial heart. God wants your whole heart. It's an imperative, brethren. Not only must we realize that we not ought to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, but God is concerned also of your thoughts and your motives. Jesus told the Pharisees, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The Lord ain't just interested in your lip service. He wants your heart. You see, for God, heart matters do matter. Yes, they do. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Oh, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. For thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 10 and 11. These verses speak to giving oneself wholly to the Lord. There is no room for divided allegiance. You know what? You know, we have court says, okay, I'm going to grant you joint custody. You can come see your son and daughter because you and your wife can't get along. But you know what? God don't play that. God don't participate in joint custody. God has full custody if you're going to be one of his. He's not going to have joint custody with the world. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Not divided allegiance. God wants your whole heart. Yes, he does. You see, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. I hope this lesson has been good for you as well as it was for me. It caused me to think and reflect on my heart and what I need to do to make sure things are right with God. You know, we sing that song, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" Is it? And that's my question for you tonight. Is your heart right? Now, you can sit there, and I don't know. I can't speak for you. Only you can speak for you. You know where you are with the Lord right now. You know that if your worship is sincere, you know, I remember Brother Mike Brandt says that the Lord is looking for the true worshiper, those to worship him in spirit and truth. See, we understand the truth part, but it's the spirit part. It's your attitude. Oh, yes. Are you zealous? Are you zealous for the Lord? Are you on fire? And that's what the Lord wants. He wants you to be on fire for him. And so let's continue to take a introspect of our hearts. As the Bible says, now, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. Take a careful exam. Matter of fact, just look back on what you did this last week. What did you do this last week? And that should help you out a little bit if you're on the right course or not. If not, then you need to repent and get there. Because tomorrow ain't promised. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Even if it comes, it might not. But I do know this. When you close your eyes for the last time, that's it. Ain't no more repentance, no more coming forth, no more getting it right. We pray you got it right. That's all we get. From that point on, we got to let go, keep moving. All right. Well, if you're here tonight and you have not obeyed the gospel, we hope and pray you will. Thank you for bearing with me. If you haven't obeyed God, we pray that you will. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe it with all your heart. You want to repent of your sins, you confess his master's name. You believe that he is God, was God in the flesh. Are you willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins and thus come in contact with the blood of Christ and be added to the Lord's church and then begin your journey on your way to heaven? We hope and pray you will do so if you have not done that and you've been taught. For those of us who are members of the body of Christ, you heard the message. Is your heart right with God? You see, because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. If you need to adhere to this invitation, please do so as we stand and sing.